Next, we have Reno Bandiera from Archetri, interplay between physics and geometry and Balmer filaments.
Okay, thank you. Good afternoon. Today, and then the talk which we'll give you will be about some work done with the collaboration of Giovanni Morlino, Sladiana Knezvich, and John Raymond. And all of you may know that some supernova remnants show optical spectra which are dominated by Balmer lines. And long ago, it has been shown that this is just the result of a collisional shock moving into a partial neutron medium. And in addition, peculiar line profile of the Balmer lines showing the composition of a broad component and the narrow component was explained as the effect of charge exchange creating further population of hot, kinetically hot neutrals. All this emission is confined to a transition region, which is related to the time required for these neutrons to be completely destroyed. And then, soon it became clear that could have been used as a powerful diagnostic tool. And from the beginning, the goal of models was trying to get a correct connection between main observer, like the ratio between the intensity of the broad component and intensity of the narrow component, and the width of the broad component, so observed quantities which are independent of the distance, and for instance, the velocity of the shock and the level of thermal equilibration. But to get more information, one could actually try to study the real structure of a transition region. The problem is that twofold. On one side, the observational problem is that we need observation with very high spatial resolution and anyway limited to very nearby supernova remnant. And also the need for more detailed models for describing the structure of this transition region. In this sense, the group in Archetri gave a contribution by proposing a fully kinetic treatment. The idea is very, very simple. So the neutral do not behave like a gas. And by the way, it comes out that their velocity distribution deviates considerably from the Maxwellian. And due to charge exchange process, the new generation of neutrals are created. And all the generation of secondary neutrals are hot, so they can even cross the shock back and create the so-called neutral return flux. Okay, but beyond, from now on, I'm sorry for Damiano, but I will skip from physics to geometry, essentially. I will start from some results that have been recently published this year. Starting idea is very simple. So even if we have very detailed physical models, in reality, we cannot observe any case in which we have a perfectly edge-on and perfectly plane parallel shock transition. Therefore, we have to cope with the effect of curvature, some cases even with the effect of multiple emitting layers along the line of sight. And this can affect several observed quantities, like, for instance, the profile in the total surface brightness, the profile of the IB over IN, as well as the width of the broad component and the offset of the broad component with respect to the narrow one. I will discuss more about this point. And we have been concentrated about this region that indicated by the arrow along the northwest edge of SN 1006. And here there's a very nice Hubble Space Telescope observation. And here, observation data with a lower spatial resolution, but with advantage of having a very good spatial information. And our analysis actually has used in a combination both kinds of data. Just to start with very simple kind of geometries, if we have geometries with a constant curvature, we can have basically two cases. The case of a convex curvature, namely where the downstream is on the on the convex side below, and this the simple case of this kind is just a pure sphere observed edge on, so the observer is observing from here, and the concave case in which we have the opposite case of curvature, and both of them give distinctive profiles, both in the total intensity, but even more in the ratio of IB over IN. And so the structure that we have studied, actually there is a main filament, a brighter filament, with some emission in front of that in a projective sense. And we have been studying independently these two subregions. We call it outer limb and this inner filament. And for the fit at the outer limb, we found that the convex constant curvature approximates pretty well the profile. And, and the problem is that, the result is that the typical scale length which is found is related to a density which is about 0.03 particles per cubic centimeter, which is a factor 3-10 lower than what typically published before. There are actually some kind of ripples, but they could actually be explained just in terms of some small ripples in the added to the curvature. This image should be stretched by about a factor of 30, so these ripples are very minor. As for the geometry of the inner filament, in a qualitative way, the concave curvature seems to work well, especially the kind of trend in the projected downstream of the ratio IB of IN is very well reproduced qualitatively by the concave model. Unfortunately, if one look at the more quantitatively, one finds that the constant curvature model, it tends to give values of the intensity in excess in front of the filament. The way to solve the problem could be either assuming a very small curvature radius for this curvature, but a curvature radius of a factor 100 smaller than the typical curvatures that are seen on the sky, so it seems like to be a rather fine-tuning, or also the possibility of having multiple tangency points along the line of sight. So also that one I will discuss in the next slide if it is a fine-tuning or not. And anyway, also in this case, by measuring the fall of the intensity on this shoulder, one can actually estimate a scale size and then also estimate the density, which is higher than before, but still a pretty low density. And going back to the multiple tangency points, how likely are they? So it's a fine tuning to assume them. For answering in a qualitative way this question, we have done some simulated maps of just a sheet with ripples and seen that by edge on. And we have selected the region where we find the brightest filaments as observed. And actually, in these regions, typically, the probability of having a multiple tangency point is very high. So I would say that this proves, in a sense, that we are not doing fine-tuning with this approximation. The two other things are, one is the fact that it is actually observed, even if there's a minor difference, but that in front of the filament, the width of the raw component is slightly higher, that can be understood in explained in terms of combination of real thermal spread plus black motions, as well as the fact that Sladiana Nikolic produced a catalog of the offsets of the various in various locations of the broad line, and she found that there is this was a dispersion of the offset with about 100 kilometers per second. So understanding these kind of offsets is not easy in the sense that if you had just a constant phase on surface brightness, you should not have such a velocity offsets. And then in order to have what is observed, one needs a fluctuation in this case of at least 50% or over, and on scales that can be obtained by looking at the kind of coherence of the of these shifts on the space, which are about 10 arcseconds, which means 1/10 of parsec. Then, these analyses that one can do in case the we can have the structure resolved. And unfortunately, as I told you before, this can be done just in very few cases. But I want to show you right now that we can proceed without such limitation for these two quantities. So the observer, by studying the observer width of the Broad component and by studying the velocity offsets of the Broad component. And for this, I'll show you an almost perfect test case, which is SNR 0509, which is a very famous supernova in LMC, which has been already cited a few times also in this meeting, and a very young supernova remnant. This is a wonderful Hubble Space Telescope image. And I will mostly concentrate on this side of the remnant, which is very clearly circular. So it gives the impression that on this side, we have really have a spherical edge of the supernova remnant. In addition to that, we had data with by MUSE on VLT, and which has not the same special resolution, but gives the spectral resolution, which is very fundamental for this kind of analysis. And for performing the analysis, the spectral analysis, we had first to get rid of the stars. And this is the map of the narrow component without stars, and this of the Broad component. This is a bit more noisy, but we have to keep in mind that the Broad line map, the Broad line emission is about 1/10 of the narrow line map. But to have an idea of how efficiently the stars have been subtracted, this is the same image, but before star subtraction, then after stellar subtraction. But since we need to get rid of any contamination by the star, in addition to that, on this image, we have also masked out the position of the bright stars in order before proceeding with the spectral analysis. And quite interesting and unexpected fact was that on the limb of the northeast edge, the offset is almost everywhere negative. So, which is surprising if you had a really spherical a case, so in a sense, symmetric with respect to us. There is an explanation for that. An explanation then does not require to have changed the physics, but just to think to a geometrical effect. So if you have a neutral density gradient along the line of sight, the part of the edge toward us is weighted more than the other part, and this gives the a kind of offset. In addition, it's important that we, unfortunately, we have a limited spatial resolution. The main prediction of this kind of hypothesis is that the velocity offset must increase going toward the center of the supernova remnant. In addition, we expect to have the velocity width is going to increase going toward the center. Are these effects measurable? Actually, they are. So for doing that, took a number of circular arcs. This is the minimum and the maximum arc, but there are many mass selection between them. For each selection, we have one point. And we can see the radial profile of the narrow line and Broad line emission, apart from after some scaling. But we can see that they are very well consistent with each other. And this is the radial profile of the velocity offset. And we see that the effect that we were expecting. And also for the width, we have an increase of the width going inwards. And for explaining that, we proposed then a very simple geometrical model with a spherical thin layer, with a number for the velocity dispersion, a number for the radial back velocity in the downstream. and the two components for the density gradient. And fitting the profiles, these are the number that we have obtained. But even more, I can show you the kind of fit that we have obtained, which is quite satisfactory, considering that that here, unfortunately, the noise is pretty large. But just for reference, this shaded line is the line of the profile in the absence, absolute, of a density gradient. And so at this point, I finished, and it's just a summary of the main point of this talk. Thank you very much.
Okay, we have time for questions.
Thank you for interesting talk. So in comparison of the surface brightness profile, how did you consider the radiative transfer of Riemann beta?
If I consider radiative transport?
Radiative transfer of Riemann beta.
The point is that the radiative transfer of Riemann beta is not related to the geometrical part, but I should say that in the models of our group is still undergoing. So that's a very, very important point. It could be even more important at lower shock velocities. This is a velocity of about 6,000 and 7,000 kilometers per second for the main shock. But this is definitely a kind of implementation that we have to do in our model.
Okay.
Thank you.
John?
Just to add some more confusion, although I tend to believe that the geometrical explanation for 0509 is the more likely one, it is possible to explain those offsets in terms of pickup ion dynamics. Where the
I don't know, in the sense that I've tried, I'm biased towards geometrical explanations, so I tried, a simple, pretty natural geometrical explanations. These are very preliminary results, and still have to do the physics behind. Giovanni is running some models for getting some more information about them. The point is that with the pickup ions, if you have really a case of the symmetry between the axis, the edge in front of us and the other edge, there should be a symmetry that would be difficult to give the offset, at least.
The magnetic field direction breaks the symmetry. And so this is a process that is guaranteed to happen, although the importance will increase as the neutral fraction increases, so yes. It's fairly complicated. They both have to happen at some level, it's just a question of which one wins.
Yes. No, yes, in that case, I mean, in case it has a physical explanation, one would actually need to have a pretty ordered magnetic field, yes.
Okay, we need to move forward. Thank you again.